Innocent or Not Guilty, June 2014. Are you innocent or not guilty? Well, neither. God has declared you acquitted when you got saved. Definitions: innocent, free from guilt or sin, especially through lack of knowledge of evil, blameless. Harmless in effect or intention, no hidden motive, free from legal guilt of fault, lawful. More definitions of innocent: lacking or reflecting of lack of sophistication, guile, or self-consciousness. Remember what Christ said of Nathanael, John 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." I'm impressed. Someone who is ignorant or unaware, lacking or deprived of something, you know, innocent in that sense. Not guilty means this. Not guilty refers to not guilty. When you plead guilty or not guilty, there's your plea there. You're pleading guilty or not guilty means a person charged with one or more criminal offenses denies committing them. Acquittal is the result, the legal result of a verdict of not guilty is acquittal. So I see why people say, "Oh, he was not guilty," but the court will not tell someone you're not guilty. It will say you're acquitted. So you could be guilty, really. Boy, have we seen things on TV a few years back about one guy with a missing glove? One name, no name. So you see, technically, legally talking, they're talking about someone being acquitted and not someone who has been found not guilty. That's not the, it's related, but it's not the same thing legally. Now, acquittal, definitions are of acquittal. In the common law tradition, an acquittal formally certifies that the accused is free from the charge of an offense as far as the criminal law is concerned. That is so even where the prosecution is abandoned. See, the prosecution. So if somebody accuses you of something, drops the charges, then you are acquitted. You're not guilty, see? So the verdict would be acquitted. In many countries, you cannot be accused of the same crime twice. God also will not accuse you twice. Some people say, "As if you have never sinned." I do not like this expression. It is not as if you have never sinned. You have sinned, you know it. So you can't deny it. That would make you perfect if you had never sinned. And you're not perfect. You have been saved. You have been made free from the penalty of sin. You have been justified, you have been made righteous, you are clean, you are washed, but sinless you're not. You have been pardoned by the judge, Almighty God. And since you have been pardoned of all your sins, he declared you acquitted of all wrongdoing. Let's talk about faith, justification, righteousness, and imputation. We see in Romans 3, verse 25 and 26, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation, that is Christ, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he may be just and the justifier of him who believed in Jesus. Moving on to Romans chapter 5, verses 17, 18, and 19. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more Thee which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19, and I'm still in Romans 5. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, all those who believe. Romans 3, verse 24 tells us, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Romans 4, 5, famous verse. I remember that one from a long time. But to him that worketh not, but believed on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see there? We have peace with God, and he will never accuse you of anything. That's when he acquitted you. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. More verses in Romans chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He's talking about Abraham. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it may be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead. We also receive by imputation the righteousness of Christ. So we've been made right. Ephesians 1, 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. So now we belong to Christ. We belong to the Spirit. We also belong to the Father. But this is more specific. Because by his grace, we are now accepted in the beloved. And the beloved is always Jesus Christ in here. In Ephesians, it is. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. And another famous verse, Colossians 2, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So see, we see that, you have been a sinner. Now, okay, I know that people say, well, I'm not a sinner anymore. Well, technically, no. You are still a sinner. As long as you are living, you will still commit sin. And if you commit sin, you are a sinner. But God has already forgiven you everything. So that's why the verdict was, you are acquitted. Now, there's another thing that I don't like that people do, is ask forgiveness after you are saved. Why do you ask forgiveness after you have been saved? Since you have been saved and been forgiven of everything, why do you ask again for forgiveness? Doesn't make sense. Took me a while to understand that one. Maybe because you did not believe that God forgave you of all trespasses. Again, a reminder, Colossians 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So if he already forgave you, why are you still asking for forgiveness? Make up your mind. You've been forgiven or you're not been forgiven, and if you have not been forgiven, yeah, you can ask forgiveness. I don't know if you're going to get it. That's a different thing. You have been made alive. You were dead in your sins. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. What part of forgiven did you not understand? Relax. You've been saved. And God will never accuse you again, because he did when you were not saved. Religion teaches to confess your sins to ask for forgiveness. Christianity says, done. You have been forgiven. If you are still asking God to forgive you of your sins, you may not be saved. I cannot say if you are saved or not. That's not my business. That's God's business. God knows if you're saved or not. I'm not accusing anybody. Maybe like me, you had an old habit of asking for forgiveness. I used to feel guilty frequently about sins, and I would ask God to forgive me. But that's reflex. Now I understand I don't have to ask him any time to forgive me of any sin, because they're all been forgiven. It's not a bad thing to feel bad when you have sin. Not saying it's, forget it. No problem. No. It's a good thing that we have a conscience. It makes you think of not doing bad things again. But if you are like me, you will sin again, and even the same old sins. We don't change. I sin less. I am not sinless. Now, there's another point. Does God forget? The answer is no. I'm going to tell you a little something here. God does not forget anything. He said that he would not remember. That is not the same thing. Forgetting and not remembering are not the same thing. You'll see what I'm going to do with this. God does not have a bad memory. He can choose not to remember some things. Now we see that in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. Chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He only says he won't remember them. Doesn't forget. I'll explain that. Hebrews 10, verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Same concept, same thing here. You cannot use these two verses to say that God forgets. If God could forget anything, maybe you could forget about you and leave you behind? I don't think so. God cannot forget anything. He is all-knowing. But he can fix it for himself not to remember some things. Now I got a little illustration. God, I don't know how God does this. Okay, I'm not pretending to know. But I just want to give you an illustration that you can think about how God operates. Now, I know, I don't know how God does it. But there's a difference between us who sometimes we forget things and sometimes we don't remember something. But it's not because we want to. It's because that's the way we're built. Some things don't work all the time, and people have diseases and whatever. And if you ask me what I did when I was 8 years old in September, I don't think I can remember. But that doesn't mean I forgot it. It's just I can't recall it. That's different. God doesn't have those problems. Now, let's say that we have the famous John Doe, and he is a saved person. I have a John Doe that is saved. Now, God does something. Now, I don't know if that's the way God does it, but I'm just going to use an illustration. So, there's a box. Doesn't matter what the box had, okay? And God says, do not open. My memories of John Doe, sins and trespasses only. Do not open. God puts stuff in his head, puts it in here, all your sins and trespasses are in the box, seals the box, don't touch it. Don't open it. I don't want to see it. This way, God cannot remember. But he didn't forget it. It's right here. He didn't forget about them, your sins and trespasses, or John Doe's. Okay? But he says, I won't remember. So he locked it up away. Now, how does God do that? I don't know. This is just a little box. It's just a cardboard box, right? But that's not my point. My point is that people say that God will forget about all your sins and trespasses. Now, he will always remember, but he will lock them away. Something that we cannot do. So in this presentation, I started by saying, are you innocent or not guilty? I understand why people say, well, I was declared not guilty. But that's technically wrong. Okay? The language says you have been acquitted. So it's probably better for us to say, I was acquitted of everything, instead of saying I was found not guilty, because you were guilty and you know it. And the only way for you to be acquitted is to be saved. And how do you get saved? Ha! So simple. Believe on how Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and 3 days after, he rose again. That's it. Have a good day.